Today's New Testament reading is Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. As always, you're invited to follow along in your own Bible or device or from a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can listen as I read these words from Paul's letter to the Philippians. If anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Before we get to some of the nuts and bolts and the ins and outs of First Baptist Church, I want to take just a brief moment to let you know what's going on in this passage. You may have thought it started out a little strange, where Paul was giving his qualifications of being a good Jewish man. Before Paul knew Christ, he was a devoted Jewish man, a Jewish leader. In fact, he was so devoted in his cause at that time that he proudly persecuted Christians. So Paul is laying that out in many ways as saying, I was the ideal Jewish man. And he comes forward and says, but because I have found Christ, I am a new creation. I am looking forward. I have a new goal. I have a new orientation about looking out ahead of me in Christ Jesus. And I think Paul is using a little hyperbole here when he talks about these items in the law, his Jewish faith, or his time as a Jew. He says it's rubbish. He says it's all loss. And I think in many ways, Paul isn't trying to say the Jewish faith is a bad thing. He's not trying to say that because he followed the law of God, that that's all trash now, because he is now a Christian. I think he's comparatively saying that now as I hone in and focus on Jesus Christ as my orientation, as I use the life, death, and resurrection of Christ to drive me forward, I don't look back anymore. I've left the old life behind and I keep my gaze forward in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, and he says this, of course, in other places in his letters. He talks about working out his own salvation, moving forward, being sanctified, and finding new life in Christ day by day as a process as he grows in the faith. That's why Paul says, I'm not quite yet there. Paul says, I've still got a ways to go. He says, I'm still working. I'm still learning about what it means to find total life in Christ. Of course, I'm paraphrasing Paul's words here. But I think those are our words as well, right? We're still working towards becoming more like Christ every day of our lives. We never reach the point where we are satisfied in our discipleship. It's something we're always pressing towards. And while we think to our past life or previous life or life before we knew Christ, or before we had found growth in Christ, we still look to those things fondly. We know that we grew from them. We know that God was working with us, but that our future orientation is ahead of us. Our future orientation, who we are, is ahead of us and not back. Of course, in a total theological salvific sense, we look towards heaven as the ultimate goal. We look towards the time where we will join together around the throne of Christ and celebrate for eternity as our ultimate goal, as what we are ultimately working for. But even in this life, there is more growing to do. There is more to look forward to, no matter how numbered our days may be or what long life we may or may not have ahead of us. As Christians, we are all in a constant state of pressing on and looking forward. At First Baptist Church, we emphasize this in two prominent manners. We look forward as individual Christians in relationship with Christ, seeking to grow ourselves personally and as individuals. But we also look ahead as a church, seeking to fulfill God's missionary purpose in Black Mountain. In other words, just as we grow in our personal spiritual lives, we also hope and pray that God's Spirit would lead us forward as a church in worship, in discipleship, in community, and going forth on mission. We have growth to do. We have growing to do as a church, just like as individuals, we have growth to look forward to. These realities, these individual spiritual lives working together to fulfill Christ's call on the entire church, are what continue to push us forward. And so as a church, we strive to move forward. We keep our gaze ahead. I think you would agree that we are not striving to be the First Baptist Church of the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and whatever you call the 2000s. Yeah. But we keep our eyes and our gaze forward towards the future and towards the people outside these walls. It doesn't mean we can't celebrate recent accomplishments, and we should. For instance, as a church, we've remained committed to so many healthy ways of doing church and being church that we should continue to build upon. For instance, we remain committed to Swannanoa Valley Christian Ministries as we have been involved with the homeless shelter, the Hope for Tomorrow housing, the Christmas Closet, and the Hunger Walk. We've seen our missions offering provide support for missionaries, some of whom have testified in this very service about where our dollars are going and what they are doing. We've once again participated in and donated items for Operation Christmas Child, Easter baskets, backpack ministries, food drives, clothing drives, and we've more recently begun a Babies and Boomers Closet that has blessed several families in Black Mountain. And for those of you that may not know what that is, we have a closet where we collect baby items such as strollers, other items for babies, but also items for those who are disabled or those who maybe are in their later stages of life who need certain kinds of medical equipment. And so we're making it known to Black Mountain that we have those available to people who cannot afford them. And so several families have come by the church over the past year and been blessed by your donations and others who have given of these items. We continue to fellowship through events such as church picnics and Christmas banquets. We've also seen several accomplishments on the operational side of the church. For instance, our Youth Center 4 was painted, and many people on this previous Wednesday night meal talked about how good the floor looked. We've worked on the fellowship hall, restored lighting in and outside our sanctuary, refinanced our mortgage to a smaller loan. We've installed cameras to provide extra security and safety during church functions. We've also continued to build relationships with families in Black Mountain. I just a few moments ago mentioned our Wednesday night family meal, which continues to grow and to make inroads in Black Mountain and even amongst our own membership. The previous year, we welcomed most likely around 10 to 15 kids throughout the course of the year for our Wednesday night family meal and our Wednesday evening activities. We said hello to hundreds of neighbors through our annual trunk or treat. Perhaps the most exciting ministry event of the year, at least from my perspective, is that 40 kids came to our shipwrecked VBS. And just to clarify, our VBS was not a shipwreck. That was the title The VBS was very good, actually. It was the opposite of a shipwreck. It was a success. It was a success because we had 40 kids from the community show up and participate in this week-long discipleship event. And perhaps just as important is that it showed that we have a good number of lay people in this church who can come together and pull off a wonderful community event for the people of Black Mountain. I will leave out a lot of items, I know. There are other things we have done throughout this previous year that should be celebrated. But it's important that we get a general sense of what we have accomplished the previous year, and that we hold on to the spirit of these accomplishments. We celebrate what we've done, but we don't continue to look back and think about what we have done. We begin asking, what's next? Where do we go from here? Yes, much of what we do in the life of the church is rhythmic or repetitive. For instance, we worship here on a weekly basis. We take part in Sunday school classes and small groups and other sorts of gatherings on a regular or semi-regular basis. We regularly give to and participate in missions here at First Baptist Church. And you, the membership, the staff, the lay leaders, you continually give of yourselves, of your time and of your energy and of your finances to help us operate and to be missional here in Black Mountain. There's always a challenge facing the church and how we will move forward in the current age. What are we going to be about in the coming years? What's our focus going to be? What's pulling us forward? What's the goal and purpose of our existence at First Baptist Church? That's why in the previous year we entered into a visioning process called From Here to There, the title implying that we would like to get somewhere in the way that we vision for First Baptist Church. We have a purpose and a goal that we would like to discover and pray about and discern. And so throughout the previous few months, focus groups of leaders consisting of staff, deacons, committees, teams, and council leaders, and also some lay members have been praying about and discerning ways to serve God in three very specific areas. Those areas being in how we can serve Christ through children and family ministries and missions, how we can provide ministry and mission in the area of elder care, not just for our own folks, but also for those outside these walls. And then finally, how as a church we can encourage and facilitate recreation, and maybe even a better term for that would be recreation, a place where we can continually rediscover who God has called us to be and how we are to live this life. So after much prayer and discussion, we felt these were three areas where the gifts of the congregation could meet the needs of the community and that God's Spirit could work through us and help us discover new ways that we could answer His call on us. Of course, through a visioning process, such as From Here to There, we also discover challenges. We discover challenges and new challenges that we may not have faced before. In the year 2018, churches are facing challenges that were not here in 1950 or 1960 or 70 or 80. And I will even say, as a kid of the 90s, problems that were not here in the 1990s. One of those challenges is to simply accept the reality of the world we live in. No, I don't mean accept the fact that there is an increasing number of those who call themselves nuns or who are religiously affiliated. I don't mean accept that we will never share Christ with them. I don't mean accept that they will never turn to Jesus. No, what I mean is we need to accept that that is the way the world is now. We need to accept the reality that 2 in 10 individuals my age will not set foot in the church in the coming year. In other words, we talk so much in this church about how we can get young people, millennials, as we sometimes call them, those who are somewhere in the age of the 20s, 30s, and 40s, how we can get them inside the church walls. And guess what? Over the past 20 years, things haven't changed. There is an ever-growing number of millennials who will not step foot in the church again, perhaps unless some things change first. We always want to hold on to that, unless some things change in the way we're doing church. There's a new reality that regular church attendance is 1 to 2 times a month. That's a foreign concept for many of you in this room. It's a foreign concept for me. I generally think that regular attenders should be here 4 weeks of the month and maybe take a couple weeks off for vacation. But that's not the reality we're living in. Once again, the new average regular attendance in the church in North America is 1 to 2 times a month. That is reality, folks. We are not going back to the America or the church of the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. We need to accept that reality on a conceptual level, but also a practical level. Now, when I say we're not going back to the America of that time, or we're not going back to the church of that time, did I say that we give up worshiping together? Did I say that we give up discipling together and joining together in Christian community? Did I say that we give up taking the name of Jesus to the neighborhood around us? I said no such thing. I didn't just tell you to give up. I told you to accept reality of what's happening in the world around us. Because when we accept reality, we can then give ourselves permission to do things a little differently. We can then give ourselves permission to look forward, not to look back and consider what church used to be, but what church is going to be now and into the next 20 years. We can continue to look forward to see where God's Spirit is leading. When we accept that the world is a different place than it was decades ago, we can discover that God is moving in new and exciting ways. We can discover that God is calling us to do some things differently. We can move forward with a more effective mission that looks forward rather than back. So my first challenge is to accept reality. In some ways, it's the same principle of accepting that you may have a sickness or accepting that you may have some disease or accepting that you may be fighting some addiction. We must be willing to accept where we are before we can seek change and move forward. The second major challenge I have for us at First Baptist Church is probably even more counterintuitive than accepting reality. And that is that we must narrow our focus as a church. You see, it's really easy to add programs, ministries, work projects, a new mission offering on top of what we're already doing. Truly, it's easy to do that as a church. In many ways, we've operated under the fact that if someone wants to add a ministry, start a small group, start a mission, start a work project, they just have to come through and just talk enough people into doing it. And it makes us feel that we're accomplishing and moving towards new things when we start new initiatives. But congregational research is actually telling us that the opposite needs to happen in order to fully pursue what God is calling us to in the life of this congregation. Church Fuel, a site that resources churches, recently told us that when a church takes on too much, when they continue to add programs, whether it's, once again, ministries or missions, whatever it may be, it spreads volunteers too thin. It puts our health at risk, literally our health at risk, when we try to do too much. With too much, we settle for mediocrity. Communication becomes ineffective because there is so much going on and so much we are asked to process that we can't hear anything. We emphasize activity and busyness over identity. And so I ask rhetorically, do you hear any of First Baptist Church in these symptoms? narrowing the focus is not easy, because that usually means discerning that which may not be effective for a congregation anymore. It can often mean scaling back financially, programmatically, structurally, or missionally. It often seems like a defeat. It says, we can't do this ministry anymore. That must mean there's something wrong with us. We might say there's only one or two people who still support this particular offering. That must mean that we're giving up. It may seem like a defeat, but what we're learning is that churches who narrow their focus, find what God has gifted them to do, can do exponentially more in the narrow focus than trying to be a big box church that tries to do all things for all people at all times and all circumstances. Countless churches are finding success in new life when narrowing their focus. Churches are seeking to do better what they already have and to find those areas of focus that they are good at. And I think that's what we need to do as a church. There's a story of Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, who was sitting in a boardroom meeting with vice presidents of Chick-fil-A, marketing executives, researchers, others in the company. Has everybody had a Chick-fil-A sandwich before? Good. Not today, but you've had it some other day of the week. They were sitting around a board table talking about how they could grow bigger and grow faster so that they could compete with Boston Market, who was preparing to launch Boston Chicken, who would be a major competition for Chick-fil-A. And so the executives are yelling back and forth with one another about how they can get bigger. Here's what we can do to get bigger. Here's how we can get bigger faster. Here's how we can get bigger. Here's how we can get bigger. And Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, was sitting at the end of the table stewing. He was sitting there quiet, and people recalled noticing how quiet he was for such an important meeting. He finally got tired and banged his fist on the table and said, I am sick and tired of hearing all of you talk about us getting bigger. And then he paused and said, what we need to be talking about is getting better. If we get better, then our customers will demand we get bigger. The church is not a business. We don't have customers. Let me make that crystal clear. We are not a business. We don't entertain customers. We're not going for profit. But we are serving a message. We are serving and living out a reality. We are promoting and sharing a lifestyle that we believe is attractive and that is worth following. And we often get wrapped in this idea that the only way to do it is to get bigger. Folks, I want our church to grow. Trust me, I want our church to grow. But I'm going to echo the words of Truett Cathy and say, I'd rather us get better before we get bigger. Better in the way we worship, better in the way that we disciple together, better in the way that we go forth on mission. I'd like us to get better. Now, like Chick-fil-A, that doesn't mean that we're all bad. Chick-fil-A was doing okay at this point. But they said we could do better. So my challenge to you, First Baptist Church, is to ask the right question. How do we get better? Not how can we get bigger. How can we serve God more faithfully? How can we be more like Jesus inside these walls and out? How can we better be the presence of Christ in these walls and outside these walls? Those conversations must come first. Paul reminds us that we must be looking forward and pressing on towards the goal that is Jesus Christ. Well, that's our challenge for today. Keeping our gaze ahead, looking forward, accepting the reality of the world we live in and in the church that we worship in, and being willing to move forward, to narrow our focus and rally around a common vision. We're getting ready to take part in Lord's Supper together. Lord's Supper always invokes a tone of looking back, remembering Christ's sacrifice for us. Looking back to that Last Supper and remembering it, and understanding that Christ's body was broken for us, that his blood was spilt for us 2,000 years ago. But what we often don't consider enough is that the Lord's Supper is also about keeping our gaze forward. Because the Lord's Supper, when we take it, yes, it is a remembrance of the Last Supper, but it is also a glimpse into joining Christ around the great banquet table that we will all join one day. And so as we take of this Lord's Supper together, let's do it by keeping our gaze forward. Let's take of this Lord's Supper together and remember that together as a church, finding common purpose and unity, we can move forward, not back, but move forward an inch closer to the time when God will redeem all things through Christ. We're a part of that. And I couldn't be more happy to be fulfilling that call with you here at First Baptist Church. Let's pray together.